everybody, and welcome to Running in Circles. This is episode 73. I am Mike Kilmer, joined by the usual crew today, Mr. Ryan Miller.
Hello.
Mr. Kenny Perrin.
Hello.
And Mr. Todd Standring.
I'm here.
Yeah, we didn't get to the whole February month because nothing came out and we didn't play shit.
Nope.
So, here it is March.
And we're back.
And we haven't played shit.
Still haven't really played shit. Kenny played something. Kenny played more new games than most of us, I think.
Probably combined.
Probably, yeah.
I don't think I played any new games.
I put in like 75, 80 hours into a new game.
What?
Yeah.
There's a game that receives them. Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. So my game that I was most excited for came out in 2020, and that's Wolson. And, yeah. I actually was wrong when I said it was the Unreal Engine. It's the CryEngine.
Okay.
But the game looks spectacular. It's fucking stunning.
What kind of game is it?
It is an ARPG.
It's Diablo.
It's Diablo, basically.
Okay.
With more bugs.
It's got a lot of fucking bugs. I mean, the game was in beta,
early
access for like 4 years.
Yeah.
And they released the game, and the servers got overloaded and shut down the first weekend.
Well, because they were anticipating like 20,000
20,000 pre-orders, right? And then 100,000 people logged on. So their cloud service got upgraded that first weekend, let's just put it that way. There's a lot of fucking bugs in the game, and there was a lot of broken talents. Because it has the Path of Exile style tree. It's not as aggressive, but it's got a lot of nodes in it.
What does the tree look like?
It's a circle. There's three tiers to it. So there's a inner circle that's three different things you can pick. Okay. And then it branches out into a bigger circle that you can rotate all these circles to connect all the different things however you want.
So is it like four different directions? Like this way is health, this way is agility, this way is strength? Or
kinda, sorta. They're all kinda intertwined of themselves. They're all broken down like it's, you know, one's called Archer and one's called fucking whatever. They all have weird names like Praetorian, which is like tanky shield dudes. Arms Master. So there's a bunch of different things. And you can spin them and connect them and put all the points together however the hell you want.
Okay.
So that's pretty cool. And it's not really the stats that you're picking up through the tree. It's the actual passive abilities that everything gets, like more crit or your ailments, like your burn, your poison, your whatever, your freeze.
Okay.
Can double the amount of ailments you apply, or the ailments can crit. It's all fucking broken. So when the game first, that first like 2-3 weeks that it was out, there's this one ability called Bleeding Edge, which is basically an axe that spins around you. And okay. It was fucking completely broken. You can set it to spin around you a couple of times, and it crits super hard, and people were doing like retarded endgame shit at like level 60 that you're not supposed to be able to do because of the damage output that you're getting from it. So they nerfed the shit out of it and made it so you didn't have like an instant cooldown on it anymore. It has an 8-second cooldown. They kind of balanced out some of the mage bugs where mages were just shit and not even playable in the end game. A lot of it is the passive nodes aren't working correctly on a lot of spells, so it kind of limits what you can do for the end game right now. So you're pigeonholed into doing a handful of very specific builds.
What do you mean by not working? Like
literally not functional.
Functioning the way that
the
it's
flavor
printed?
Text will say you're ailments have a 50% chance to cause stasis, which is a stun, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't work.
And it just doesn't stun?
Doesn't work. What? Just doesn't.
That's bad.
Doesn't work.
Okay.
So there's a lot of that. They're slowly fixing it. The list of things that need to be fixed is long now.
Sure. And it's just like a few Polish dudes, right?
Yeah, there's a very small... No, French people.
Oh, French.
Yeah,
okay.
They're Frenchies. And, you know, they're probably all fucking quarantine right now anyways, so
yeah,
they can't just stay
that
at work
situation.
But it's gonna, I feel like in like 6 months it's probably gonna be the time to grab it.
What is the structure of the game, like how does
it's three acts, it's Diablo, like
it's okay. A story based,
yeah, it's a story. Yeah, there's a story.
The freaking like menu scene, it legitimately looks like they stole it from Diablo 3. Like
it's that, I mean, they're fucking randomly generated dungeons. The end game is very Greater Rift-esque, similar to that.
Oh, that's cool.
There's three floors. You fight through a floor. You unlock the boss, and then you can either finish and get your rewards, or you can go to the next level, which increases the difficulty, which greaters the rewards, and it's all level-based. So you start at, you know, adept at a fucking peon, and then you unlock, I think it starts at 70. So 70, 73, 76, you can bump the difficulty up all the way to 150. And you can do that at any level once you beat the game.
Okay.
So like I'm 74 and I've pushed up to that end tier.
So what are you looking for? Do they boost it with like items and gear, or are you looking
for like... your gear as you do those higher level, we'll call them rifts for all intents and purposes. I think they're called expeditions in the game.
Mm-hmm.
They're expeditions. We'll do that. The higher level, you drop better gear. So if you do a 90 versus doing a 120, you get better gear from the 120.
Okay.
And it depends on your build. So like if the build that I'm currently running is based around that bleeding edge ability still, and the material damage. So material damage, it's all broken down into material, occult, and fucking something else. There's three different types of damage, and those have their little subsets. So like physical poison and rend damage are all material damage.
Okay.
So you can get that particular stat on your weapon, and then on all your gear you can stack material damage. So I fucking hit for a ton with that, and that's the basis of my build. It's like I just fucking face rolled into it. My other secondary stats are kind of, I mean, there's good ones like crit and all that's important, but predominantly I just want to do as big of a hit at any point in time as possible.
That's dope.
And just dump all of it on there.
How, you said there's not really like a direction in the tree, right?
For
specific things, like how are the, like the item stats allocated then? Or do they it's drop
random.
Like it's completely random?
It's all
like
random. But you can craft and you can remove and add magical abilities. So through there's a whole crafting system. There's these runes that will reroll the whole item. So if say you get like a high level sword and you want to use a sword but it's got shit fucking stats on it, you reroll it, boom, you get a whole thing. It's got some good stuff, some bad stuff. You can put gems in the item and then use this other rune that will guarantee that whatever is what those gems are will be on the item. So like you can put
material, so you can
make them better.
Yeah, that was my question, because I was like, well, if there's no real direction and there's no classes,
there's
right
no class.
Per se,
no
so that,
class.
That, I was just a little worried about the loot drops, because I remember like the early Diablo
you
drops
get a ton
were
of them.
Completely random, and you'd be like, I don't want, like, you get this amazing item and it's like, oh, it's like dex and strength and like, what?
Yeah, that doesn't happen a lot. There is armor classes, so there's sorcerer, bruiser, heavy, and rogue, which are the different armor types.
Okay.
And those generally have a grouping of stats that you see a lot of. So like bruiser, you get a lot of resistance to all resist, crit. Health usually is one of the main things on it. Heavy has a lot of health, tons of health, like huge, like 3,000 health on all the items. And that they all have a chance to have like those secondary stats, but they generally have the presets, like agility you see on the rogue shit. Sorcerers have a lot of wisdom on there, so like you see the base stats on that stuff.
Okay.
So you can kind of. But sometimes you'll get wisdom boots that have like the perfect stats for like a melee DPS build. It's just random. And there's no benefit to other than you get more health, you get more whatever main stat type of thing from that type of armor. There's no boost for having all of one type of armor or anything. Okay. So
how is like the actual playing the game? I know that's a stupid question, but like, does it feel good? Are the actions
the
like, feel
combat
nice?
Is
skills?
Very good. Okay.
Yeah, they have the console Diablo roll thing, right?
Similar, yeah. So you have willpower and rage, which are your mana essentially. There is no mana pool. You have this back and forth transfer time thing. So like, if you're auto attacking, you're building up rage, but you're taking away your willpower. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So in order to cast
your trade-off,
you have to balance out.
So there's no free actions basically. You're doing
some of the abilities. Well, there's also
Like tied to a cooldown.
There is a stamina cooldown, which is your roll, or you can also make like some of the jump abilities and stuff on stamina cooldown versus costing rage. There's also talents in the tree that increase your rage or willpower generation, so you get less time transfer. There's stats on items that reduces the transfer time between it.
That's cool.
So you can fucking spam shit. So you can get like a cool little rotation going. And then your abilities will generate rage or willpower, vice. I mean, depending on. And there's I think 40 fucking abilities in the game, and you get to pick.
I was gonna say per character. There's no characters.
No, just 40. I mean, so, and they're tied to your weapons. So if you're using daggers, there's specific dagger ones. There's specific bow ones, gotcha. Specific melee, specific spellcaster. Also, because of that, allows you to do like these weird melee or even range hybrid caster builds, which are pretty good right now.
Sounds dope.
So you can use like the offhand items that a mage would use with like a gun or a fucking one-handed sword. And you can use like the buff abilities that a caster would use while being a melee class or while being a gun class. Huh. So there's some cool shit. It has a lot of potential to be really fucking cool, and having the ability to do basically whatever the fuck you want is sweet. And it doesn't cost, there's like no pay to win shit. Like you don't have to pay real currency to reroll. You just get stuff as the game goes on.
Was it just a $60 one-time purchase thing?
It's $40. It went up $10 if you bought it after it was actually released. But
it's still just as buggy, so.
It's getting there. I mean, it seems like every 2 weeks they're doing some pretty big patches. So they're working on it, but it is a very small company. It's a very small company.
I'm sure they got a lot of cash influx too out of the gate, and they'll probably be able to onboard some more people. And
I mean, it's got... I mean, there's big Diablo streamers that are playing it, so like it's getting supported by the fans. I mean, it was a fucking, what's that called?
Kickstart.
So like that was how the game started.
That's cool.
It's good.
I'm sure it'll get where it needs to go. Yeah. It's just people need to stop fucking pissing flames on the internet.
It took a freaking long time for Diablo to get to where we wanted it to be.
Yeah, right? It was like a good 2 or 3 years.
They had the auction house and like all the crap that started with like...
But it has a really good base. Like I said, the combat, it looks amazing. It's a
little... CryEngine's a fucking powerful-ass engine.
It's a little dark, which is cool. So it's not like fucking super dark, but it's a little more on the dark side than Diablo almost, you know.
Like it looks dark or like the theme is dark?
No, it's a little more dark-themed. There's some weird shit going on. But it's still, you know, demons, fucking...
Love demons.
Killing shit, swords, magic.
That's cool.
Crushing shit.
I'll probably check it out in like 6 months.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good time.
Sounds like a good idea. I'll probably play that at some point.
I was going to say, for sure.
What was it called again?
Wolcen.
Wolcen.
W-O-L-C-E-N.
Like the fish song.
That's actually the name of the company.
Yeah, the company is the Wolcen Company.
Wolcen Games.
Really?
Yeah.
Very original. I love it.
So yeah, that's what I spent most of my time doing in February. Played a bunch with Brian.
That's dope.
We went hard as fuck on it. Kind of burned ourselves out.
Yeah. Every time I logged on the PC, I was like, "These motherfuckers are playing Wolcen again." Shit.
Yep. All
right.
That's right. Because every time I logged on the PC, it's like Todd's playing fucking TFT again.
Yep. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. I'll talk about that for a second.
Playing some Team Fight Tactics.
Yeah, it's the perfect game if you have a 1-year-old because you don't actually need to play it, which is great. The game's stupid. I love it and I hate it. We've talked about it a lot on the Game of the Year thing, so I'm not going to elaborate on it really too much more.
You just know it better now.
Yeah, other than the fact that I think it's pretty good and there's a lot of luck involved.
Yeah.
There's skill. There's a lot of skill involved, but sometimes you can't get around the draws that you get sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes the game guides you in a way that it's like, oh, I've got this great build and synergies with these champions, and then... the items just don't flow your way. Or you don't even get items. You just get gold, which is very frustrating. But they've addressed some of the balance changes lately, which has been good, even though the set's almost over. The problem with the game sometimes is there's just some compositions of champions that are...
It's overpowered.
Very, very strong. And if you don't chance into them, sometimes even if you... build in a good way to get another nice team going, it's still just not going to be strong enough to deal with some of the shit that comes along. But yeah.
Nice.
That game continues to be very good and very bad.
Yeah.
And very luck-based and very unfriendly for beginners.
I'm starting to understand it now that I've watched you guys play a bunch of rounds, though. So
yeah, it's fun. It's a card drafting game.
Yeah.
It's a card drafting game with some tactical positioning and... I guess, just learning. It's like, if you come into it, you're not going to know anything.
Economy management.
Terrible, yeah.
Being rich. Being
and understanding rich what all of these little icons games. Actually represent.
Yeah, being rich will win you games.
Yep. If you can just stack money in the late game and then roll down hard on into something good, you win.
Mm. Yeah, or get in the top four, which is a win in my book. Yeah, that game's very good. And yeah, probably cool. The next time we record, the new set will be out.
Yeah, March 13th, I think.
Yeah, I would imagine.
They made a bunch of nice changes. They replaced, I think, three items. Three of like
a couple new
crappy-ish items. Yeah, it should be good. One thing I guess I'll talk about real quick about it that seems neat is... So at the beginning, you have the stupid carousel thing that you pick a champion from, and it gives you a level 2 champion, which is something you can't afford, basically, at the start of the game. And their goal with that was to try to, like, entice you into this sort of build, right? You're like, oh, I have this champion. Like, oh, I'll try to build around them and get synergies. But the better play is just usually sell them for gold.
Sell that motherfucker.
Buy a bunch of basic level 1 champions.
Pick the best item and then sell it for
fucking
gold.
Stash money, yeah, until round 3.1.
Pretty
and
much.
Then roll hard and get a bunch of 3-star 1-cost units and,
yep,
then stomp the mid-game.
Yep. So what they're going to do is the entire first carousel is going to be all level 1 champions.
Mm.
Which you won't sell, and the gold generation at the very beginning of the game is going to slow down like way, way slower.
Okay.
So you're going to have to not flip so many pages. Not that you do a ton at the beginning, but
I do hyper roll fucking hard.
I like rolling too in the beginning, but this, like, you're going to have so little gold that you're going to have to just really kind of chill on it, and
it takes
and things are going to be more important.
Entire strategy out of the game.
It's going to be different. Yeah.
Yikes.
Another cool thing is there's going to be full items in the carousel now at different points. So maybe
they did that before the last patch. The carousel before Raptors, I believe, had 2 full items in it. And they took that out when they took the spatula out.
Yeah.
So they're going back to that.
Yeah, so that's going to be... Yeah, there was a couple examples. They're like, oh, maybe like the second carousel is all full items and... Well, fuck. Like, that's going to be crazy. Yeah. It's going to be cool.
That's a huge power jump.
Yeah, and being last, like, in that scenario is, like, pretty good. Because you get
to
pick
top,
first, and you're like, shit, like, I can get exactly what I need. Anyway, I don't want to talk too much about that because it's not even out yet, but TFT, yo.
This is cool.
Yep.
Cool. Yeah, I've been playing a couple of Game Pass games, in not a whole lot, but I played this game called Minute. Have you guys heard of this?
Yes.
So it looks like a Game Boy or like a Nintendo game. It's very like 2-color pixel game.
It looks like that. What was that? Downwell.
Yeah.
It's kind
same
of
as same
to
type
that
of look
art.
As that. The entire game is a time loop of 1 minute, and as you play the game, you unlock different areas, different shortcuts, and stuff like that, which further unlock more parts of the game, and you just keep doing the same 1 minute time loop and getting to new areas, unlocking new stuff.
Is that a permanent unlock? So the next,
yes,
time you come, the short, okay,
yeah, like, so you'll unlock like, oh, I walked through this area, now there's a teleport here, and then you can go in your house and you saved 30 seconds, now you can just take the teleport to that area and keep moving further.
That's cool.
And then you can unlock different spawn points and different stuff like that. So I didn't play a whole lot of it, probably like an hour or two of it. I don't think it's a super long game, but it was really cool. It really interesting concept.
That's 60 to 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Exactly. No, but it was fun. It's just a good little time waster game too. Like, and it's just on Game Pass, so I was just like, yeah, whatever, I'll give it a try. And then the other one is in another action RPG similar to Diablo called Children of Morta. Very really rich pixel art style. It's definitely like an action RPG. You're playing as this Bergson family and the world of Rhea is what they call it, and corruption is starting to seep into the world. It's set up in like portals, basically. So you have this house, you can upgrade. So you start off with nothing, basically. You have one character, and it's like the father. He's a sword and shield character. He's pretty slow. And it's random roll dungeons. So every time you play a level, it's going to be a completely randomly generated, just like Diablo. Although there's no loot in this game, it's just like you're unlocking experience to unlock your skill tree, basically. You start off with a sword and shield guy, and then as you start to beat levels, certain things start to unlock. So you go back to your house and you get introduced to the Bergson family, and they show you a bunch of cutscenes about this family and their grandmother's the matriarch and all this other stuff. And as you start fighting more and more things and defeating these levels, so the way it works is you have one of the guys can upgrade your physical attributes, and then the grandmother can upgrade your like magic attributes. It has like obelisks similar to like Diablo, which give you bonuses and power-ups, like a health bonus, a mastery bonus, skill bonus, that type of stuff. But as you complete levels, you go through a cutscene that'll say, hey, now the daughter is learning to defend herself, become an archer. So then you unlock the second character, which is a ranged character. And she has and as you play more of these characters, they level up, they get three different abilities. So the first character is like a sword and shield guy. He has a shield and a sword. It's really basic. And like one like stun attack, I think. And then you unlock Linda, the second character. She has a bow.
Linda.
Yeah.
Fucking Linda.
That's a great character name. The Archer. Linda the Archer.
And she can shoot. And if she stands still, each shot gets more and more deadly. But she can move while shooting. And she has eventually you unlock like an area of effect attack, which is basically like your Y attack. And then eventually you will add another attack, which is I'm blanking on right now. But as you keep going and progressing through beating each level works just like Diablo would, where like you get there's three floors, four floors, each one has bonuses. You're picking up all these extra like relics and stuff like that are adding passive bonuses to you. It's just very action RPG.
Sounds very cool.
Yeah, and it looks really nice.
I also saw it when I walked in here, and it looks cool.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the first thing that
really caught. Really good pixel art.
Yeah, the home base thing looks neat.
Yeah,
it's like a cool so you're just stained in a house, glass yeah. cathedral, not cathedral, but like a mansion.
Yeah, it's like a mansion thing. Yeah, and the world gets more and more corrupt as you keep playing. So. It's basically driven into three worlds essentially, and then there's like a final boss at the end. The first world there's three levels in each world basically. There's a boss at the end of each level, and they get harder and harder as you go. When you unlock that, it unlocks the next world, which unlocks new characters and stuff. So you get a total of I think it's 7 or 9 Bergsons. You unlock the son, who is like this military martial arts guy who can like dart and like cover huge distances to hit people and stuff like that, and he has a whip that will stun and bring everybody into one center, so then you can just kind of like two hit them all, which is really fun. And then he also has like a get the fuck away from me spinning kick thing where it just like repels everyone away and does some damage, which is good. There's a hammer guy who has just like huge hits, but he's super slow. There's the young girl who's like the mage character basically. There's only two ranged characters in it, which is kind of annoying. But she, Lucy is her name, and she can throw fireballs, but she can't move while throwing. So you have to stop and actually throw. And the longer
Resident Evil style.
Yeah. So the longer you throw, the damage starts to multiply. Mm. And eventually you unlock a decoy. So you can drop a decoy and then just kind of stand back and just take everyone out.
That's dope.
And she also has this like cyclone ability where she basically launches a tornado that kind of just gets people stuck in it and pushes them away. So you can just... And she's one of my favorite characters because the decoy is so powerful. And then eventually once you start upgrading, like getting the right relics and the right synergies with stuff, like, hey, I'm going to do bonus damage and now I can attack faster and I can do that. Like it just, everything synergizes and it becomes so fun. There is a little bit of grindiness in the middle of it because you just, when you hit the second world, like you're going to have to grind out levels for a while before you can be powerful enough to actually do what you need to do. But so far it's been awesome. I'm like 10 hours into the game or something. I think I'm on the last world, so it shouldn't be too much longer, but it's been real fun.
That's cool. Yeah. I might check that out.
Yeah, it sounds right.
It's on Game Pass.
Yeah, Game Pass.
So Game Pass rules.
Yeah, it does.
Basically.
So on the ARPG front, season 20 of Diablo starts next Friday.
Jesus Christ.
Speaking of games that are like Diablo, I know that's pretty much everything we've played last month. I played something very similar to Diablo. I started playing Soma.
Zing.
Very similar to Diablo.
Zing. Wowie, wowie.
You made you start playing Soma.
It was on sale a couple weeks ago. It was like $6.
It's a great game.
And that's a great price. Yeah, I'm going to buy this game for $6 and eventually play it.
So I don't think, I think I accidentally didn't do the non-annoying monster mode.
Okay.
Because that, it got updated with like an easier mode. Basically, the monsters can't do damage.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what it was, but it made something, they made some change where the monster was less annoying for sure.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I don't know. I'm playing on like the easy, kind of the easiest difficulty,
smart.
I think.
That's smart.
The normal difficulty. Yep. Not the easiest, because the easiest is like the monsters don't do anything to you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that game is more about like the atmosphere and the story than it is about anything else.
For sure.
Playing it on easy difficulty is not going to detract from it.
And I actually kind of wanted to knock it down just so I could kind of like roll through it and enjoy the actual story, but you can't change the difficulty in the middle. So, so I don't know.
It's only a few scenes where it actually...
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Now, I played a good amount of it. I probably played a good, I don't know, 6 hours of it so far.
Probably most of the way through, or more than half, for sure.
Gives you a real good BioShock feel.
Oh, yeah.
I knew nothing about the game, too. So
that's a good way to play that game.
The story is incredible.
It gets better.
And it gets told really well.
Yep.
So
the ending is fucking will blow your mind, dude. It's so good.
I love it.
One of the best like sci-fi endings in a game in a long time.
Very cool. So I'll definitely finish that. Definitely worth the $6 buy.
I would say that's
a good one.
Definitely worth the $6 buy.
It's definitely a game about reading, just reading things. Yep. But it's very satisfying.
Yeah.
Because like, there's like a payoff usually to reading.
There's that one fucking, well, it's kind of close towards the beginning. My roommate was watching me play it a little bit because I was like, dude, you got to check this out. This game is crazy. And there's that one part where you have to redirect power in to like a control room, and you can either flip a switch that says like, once you flip this switch, there's no turning back, or you have to flip the other switch that's like killing this robot every time you like flip it. And he's like screaming.
Oh yeah, I remember that now.
I spent probably 5 minutes just trying to fucking decide which switch I wanted to flip. I was like, well, fuck, he's like getting hurt over there. I ended up killing him.
Good.
But
you'll realize that was a sound decision at
some
point.
Really?
Oh, probably. Yeah,
the story in that game is so good.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. I didn't know that actually would come back. I thought it would just change something in that moment.
I don't know that it'll change something, but there'll be something.
Your perspective will change.
Yeah, your perspective will maybe change at some point, and you'd be like, eh, all right, maybe fuck him.
Okay. Oh, I see what you're saying.
It's a thing.
That game. It's a cool game.
It's very good.
Yeah, I'm definitely enjoying it. And it's like, and how it's fairly old now, right?
It's probably 4 years old.
Yeah, it was like 2016.
It looks very good, and it controls very smoothly.
Yeah. No,
that's the Amnesia developers, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that game also is fucking
petrifying. Yeah, I don't know if I would touch Amnesia. This is a pretty high scare level for me.
I played through the first one. Actually, like a year and a half ago, I tried playing through March for Pigs, and I got like 2 or 3 hours into it, and I should have just finished it because it's like a 6 hour game, but that game's fucking weird. Yeah.
I played the first hour or so of the first one, and it was fucking weird.
It's fucking weird, man. It's like some fucked up mansion where they're doing experiments on humans, like Frankenstein shit.
Sounds titillating.
It's fucking fucked. I always play it with headphones on late at night.
Yeah, it scared the crap out of you.
That's how they would recommend you playing
it,
I would assume, but...
It's cool.
Yeah. Soma, I'll definitely finish it. It's fucking very cool.
Dude, finish it.
It's real good.
I also played the beta for Bleeding Edge.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's that Ninja Theory game, right?
Yeah, new Ninja Theory game. It's basically a third-person Overwatch melee game.
Okay.
That's basically what it is. I think it's 4-on-4. Okay. So, yeah, smaller teams. But it was fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have too much to say about it. It's very similar to, like...
For Honor.
Yeah, I didn't play For Honor, like, multiplayer. And it's I don't think it's as complex as For Honor.
For Honor is more just dueling, though. It's not really objective.
This is like, it feels more like Overwatch because like there's the heroes, like each one has their own like personality. And
I mean, Ninja Theory is great at melee, so that makes sense.
Yeah, and the combat's a lot of fun. It was very easy to pick up, and I don't know if it's something I would play, like, pay $60 for. And I mean, it's probably going to be on Game Pass.
Yeah, it's on Game Pass. So
there we go. I'll definitely play it for the first month that it's out. But you guys might be into it a little bit more than me.
Yeah.
With the competitive team-based games.
TFT.
Mm. But very cool.
It's dope.
I did reinstall Apex Legends.
Nice, dude.
Big ol' update.
Meaning to check back in on that.
There's a lot of shit.
There's a new map.
Didn't they add a third-person mode to the game?
I didn't try any of that, but that's fine if they did.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, they're first-person. It's hard enough in first-person.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
The only thing I hear about that game is that people are really pissed off about, like, the actual skill-based matchmaking because they're just getting trolled because they're playing people who are
so
good.
So bad, dude. It's fucking miserable.
Yeah, I'm bad.
It's so hard to play games like that now because it's just, like, defeating.
Yeah.
It's one thing because, you know, I don't want to fuck on someone else's game, so I'm playing with random people. So I don't want to be like, oh, I'm the jump master. Let me take you to the safest, furthest place so I can actually, like, loot and get a gun and fucking get my bearings. No, they want to drop in the hot zone. They want to fucking party. And, like, I'm like, all right, cool. Let me go drop and fucking get shot in the back of the head before I get a gun. Like, it's a lot of that. But
that's
it's still really good, though.
The new map looks neat.
It's
the
cool.
The game's so good. It just, the way those games control, like, it just feels so good.
Yeah, Respawn knows what they're doing.
They really do.
Controls. The new character looks cool. The guy that basically
He's
alts into that game mode that they added a while back.
Just fucking big scary skeleton thingy. I didn't get him. I don't have the currency for him. But
oh yeah, you gotta buy him.
Yeah, that's a free to play game. So
yeah, free.
Yeah. Free my ass.
Yeah, free my ass.
I paid the tip.
Love it. Speaking of competitive games, I have been playing the new season of Call of Duty.
Really?
They added Ghost from Modern Warfare, which is kind of cool. They have the airplane map from Modern Warfare 2 in there, but I haven't had a chance to play it. At least I think it's in there because they show Ghost in that map, like the No Russian map or whatever. Mm-hmm. But they added like this giant Costco map where you're just like inside like a BJ's or a Costco.
That's cool.
And it's
ripping people.
It's like a lot of like shelves and stuff. So the verticality of it is like you're just getting sniped from across the map all the time.
Like through like a bunch
through
of
through boxes
fucking,
and shit. Yeah, it's
wow.
That game is still fucking
incredible.
Does
the fantastic announcer in it say like enemy in aisle 6?
No.
That
would be pretty funny. Yeah.
Fucking clean up aisle 6 after you get headshotted. Like
Oh, that'd be great.
Get fucked.
But I successfully played with a bunch of people on PS4 the other day, which is really cool.
Oh, nice.
And actually, the voice chat worked perfectly fine. There was no issues whatsoever. Weird side note, your Activision name on the PC is different from your Activision name on the Xbox.
Okay.
It's like, it's still the same name, but it has different numbers, which is weird.
Okay.
Because I tried to send him my code from, I was just logged in on my PC, and I was like, oh, this is my name. And he's like, I can't find you. So then I logged in on my Xbox and I was like, that's because there's like 7 more numbers on the Xbox version. It was really weird. And then
classic.
Sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, I added him and then they were just like, hey, come play. So I played like 4 rounds with him and a bunch of his friends and it was fun. We did terrible, but it was fun.
Huh.
They also, the new game mode game mode leaked. There's a battle royale mode coming to called Warzone. Somebody glitched into it when they were in one of the other maps.
Oh, that's great.
They found it and put it on Reddit, and now they're getting, like, apparently Infinity Ward's trying to find out who like, leaked all this information. It's because they have, like, screenshots and, like, all this other crazy. So, I don't
break.
Know. Yeah, it's stupid, okay. But
it's out.
Yeah.
Deal with it.
Release the game mode.
Pretty much.
Release the game mode.
All right, let's get pissed that it's not out yet.
But it's one of those games where, like, I stopped playing it probably for, like, 3 weeks. And then I played it. I just picked it up again, and I just couldn't stop playing it again. It's just one of those games. It's just super
very
fucking
good game.
Fun. And it's, if you're with the right crowd and you just get on a roll, you just feel like a fucking god in that game, and it's so fun.
It's a fun game.
It's a very fun game.
I know. I need to get back into it. I haven't played it in a while. I haven't sat in my...
I was going to say, how are you doing with fucking the Star Wars game?
I don't want to talk about
it. He knows where he is.
Speaking of Infinity Ward...
Respawn, you mean?
Or yeah, or whatever. Respawn. Yeah, no, I've not played much of it. I like the game, but I've not played much of it.
Yeah.
I've been playing Ring Fit.
Ooh.
That's probably the video game I've been playing the most.
That game's cool.
I don't know that I've No, we haven't talked about it.
I have it too. I have yet to really use it. My wife's been using it a bunch.
So it's a fitness game from Nintendo that comes with a rubbery plastic Pilates ring that you snap your Joy-Con into. Mm-hmm. And there's another one that straps on your knee. And it's a world-based kind of like Super Mario Brothers, a game that people may have played. And you go through the worlds, and you do activities.
Mm-hmm.
The general structure of the levels is you run through them. There's like a point-to-point course that you're on, and you go forward by physically running.
Mm-hmm. Jogging in place,
yep,
if you will.
Yep. So you have this stupid fucking ring thing, and if you push it together, squeeze it, it fires bolts that you can use to break crates. And if you pull it apart, you can vacuum up coins and health points. And that's sort of what happens when you're running along the tracks. And then you get into turn-based fights with monsters. Mm. And you get a selection of five like workout skills you bring into these turn-based fights. And you have to fight dudes with the workouts. And there'll be such things as like yoga poses or like
squats.
You push the things together a bunch of times to do like resistance workouts or squats or all kinds of different fucking things. And they're pretty hard. Some of them are pretty hard. Some of them are more like active and sweat making than others. And eventually you get to a point where there's different colored monsters that you're fighting. And you have different colored abilities in your whatever repertoire that you can use against them. So you're choosing skills that, you know, will hit them harder.
Mm-hmm.
And there's different AoE skills and single target skills. So there's like quite a bit of strategy with that sort of stuff. And then you eventually unlock the ability to make smoothies, which...
Power-ups.
Yeah, they're basically power-ups, yeah, that you can use them to heal mid-fight or boost the drop rate of items or boost certain colored skills, that sort of thing. But you just keep unlocking more and more and more workouts, and then there's different things that come
like
into...
Boss levels and stuff, too?
There's like... boss levels, yep, they're long. Sometimes they take like 10, 12 minutes to fight these bosses, and you got to pop your smoothies and heal up, do all that shit, and it gets you fucking sweating quite a bit. Like, it's a really good workout. That part is very satisfying. But yeah, the further you get along, the more interesting the like running down the linear path becomes, because they give you a lot of new obstacles along the way. Like, so you do all the squats, right? Those are just like a random thing you do when you fight dudes. But then eventually you get these in those like long runways of tracks that you do, and you get these jump pads that they unlock. So it's just like a huge thing across like a water canyon or whatever, and there's like these little jump pads, and you come up to them, and then you squat down. And there's like feedback too, like in the knee thing, like as you squat down, it's kind
you're
of like
strapping a Joy-Con to your knee.
Yeah, so it kind of like vibrates a lot. It's like brrr, and then like once it's fully charged, it gives you like a quick pulse, and then you can stand up, and then you'll jump to the next like jump pad, and then you squat down, charge, and then it hits you in the knee, boom, you jump. So it's got these cool like things that you're jumping across. It gets you like some cool like rowing things that you got to do. You put it against your abs. So the way you block against enemies is you flip the thing on your abs and you push in real hard and kind of like flex your abs and hold it to block. But there's like a kayak type of move that comes in later where you do that same thing. You push it in and kind of crunch, and then you got to kind of weave back and forth side to side to row.
I saw the one where you have to like make like the vase shape by like squatting and using
pressure.
Yeah,
that's a mini game. I haven't even gotten to that one yet. I saw G playing it, but yeah, you like squat and do something to do some.
Yeah, you have
some
to squeeze the thing that you're creating like the shape of like if you're doing a pottery wheel or something, mm-hmm. You're creating the shape of the actual vase.
One of the cool obstacles that I just got recently, it's like a track above your head where you like lock on to like a rail system with like a handle on it, and you have to fucking hold the ring above your head and push it together and hold, and that's the only way that you like go down this fucking thing. And it's hardcore, dude. It was like
just 30, seeing your face describing this,
yeah, it was like 30 hardcore. Seconds of like holding this thing above your head, and you're fucking pushing it together as hard as you can. You're like, is this fucking thing done yet? Like, just going down this thing, you're like, oh fuck, sweating your balls off. There's all these different workouts, and it's fucking cool.
Yeah, it seems really cool.
If you're looking to like get physically fit, I think it's a decent option. Mm-hmm. And then there's all kinds of different like workout programs outside of that actual game that you can play. I haven't gotten too much into those.
Because that's
like,
just the adventure mode, right?
That's just the adventure mode, and there's like, I don't know, I'm like 6 worlds in. I think there's like 15 or something, and then there's a bunch of new game plus stuff you can do. You can set, like, if you want to just come in outside of that, you can set, like, oh, I want to do arms today, or I want to do cardio, or I want to do this or that. You can do all that, or you can just play the mini games. It takes your heart rate.
If you're using the infrared?
Yeah, you use the infrared thing to get your heart rate. It's super fucking cool, and you don't need much space to do it. I don't think you can get them now. I think they're sold out, which sucks.
Yeah, I picked one up around Christmas time for my wife, so just haven't used it yet.
Dude, it's mint. Honestly, it's mint. I mean, you're not going to get... I mean, I guess you probably could if you did like aerobics and things, like get your heart rate up to something that resembled like running or something. Like you can do that, but it really does train your... Because it attacks like weird muscles and shit. It's got stretching at the beginning. It's got like stretching at the end, like cool downs, gives you different tips. It's got like... It's like really motivating. It tells you like about... like healthy eating and this thing and that thing, and it's like, hey, when you're working out, like, try to target this muscle and that thing. Another thing it really helps with is makes you aware of is like your form with things, like while you're stretching or doing the things, it gives you a lot of feedback like on what you're doing wrong, because it knows like what you're doing. It'll be like, hey, like stick your ass out or make sure your knee's bent or this thing and that thing, and it makes you kind of conscious of that. Which is cool, because I go out to like grab wood now, and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna pick this up, but like I'm gonna stick my ass out a little more and like keep my back straight, and it kind of gives you better posture, and it's just a positive ass thing.
Yeah,
I gotta say, it's really neat, and I've been enjoying it.
Yeah, I needed to use it.
Ring Fit.
Do you try to play it on a regular basis, or?
I do, yeah. I mean, I try to like run two times a week, three times a week if I can, but if I don't have time, I like to do that. You can squeeze it in after dinner sometimes. It makes you want to throw up. The worst... Not really, but so it
sounds
works.
Sounds like a great time.
It works you a little harder than you anticipate sometimes. You start, and it's kind of like working out too. You're like, you're about to play, and you're like, I don't really want to fucking play this dumb thing. Like, oh, I'm going to, you know.
That's
really
literally why I haven't started.
Yeah, you're like, I don't want to work. And then you start doing it, and you're like, oh, this is actually fucking dope. And like, oh, this feels good. Like, nice. Then it's like, oh, this is just fun.
Yeah.
And you just want to keep playing it. Fuck. Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
It's very good.
It's still hard to get, huh?
Yeah.
It is.
They underproduced them, and now they're trying to make it up. And now with the whole like coronavirus in China and all that other stuff, all the manufacturing warehouses are shut down.
Things aren't happening.
Yeah, things are and aren't happening.
So, yeah, there's that.
I just want to touch base quickly on a couple board games.
That's
the thing I've really been playing the most. One of them is called Spy Club. Okay. It's like,
have you played it?
I've played it, yeah.
Oh, nice.
It's got a weird theme to it. We were in a local game store. That's Entertainment. G.
Nice plug.
Yeah. Our daughter saw this game and was like, this looks neat. And I was like, all right, yeah, let's check it out. We did some reading on it, and then we ended up buying it. It's a co-op game. It has a young adult fiction sort of theme. It kind of, I don't want to say like Stranger Things, but it's just like a ragtag group of kiddos.
It's an 80s movie.
Yeah, no, it's not an 80s movie.
It's
at
the Goonies.
All, but it's like a, you know, treehouse fucking gadgets fucking baseball doo-doo-doo kind of thing.
It's the Goonies.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It is the Goonies. It is the Goonies. So it's a cooperative game where you're tasked with solving a mystery. But it's also a campaign game.
Okay.
But it's infinitely resettable, and it operates with a huge deck of like almost 200 cards. Way the actual kind of base game works is there's like a big stack of cards. They're dual-sided, and there's 5 different colors. They're basically like suits, right? But it's just like green, yellow, whatever,
red, blue.
Yeah, okay. So you're able to keep... We're playing a 2-player game, but we're each able to keep four in front of us at a time, and there's a certain amount of actions you could take on your turn, and what you're trying to do is trade in to like the main board five of the same color to solve different aspects of the case. And the different aspects of the case are like, what was the object that was used? Like, what is the motive? Where did it take place? What was the crime? And while you're doing that, the game is, you know, working against you. There's like this little thief guy that moves around and tries to escape off the map. If you run out of, you know, the deck to draw, you lose. If something else happens, you lose. But it's really fucking cool. And the whole thing is centered around creating your own stories. So whenever you solve an aspect of the case, so say you get like three or five yellow cards out, right? Those are the objects. It's just like stopwatch, slingshot, this thing, that thing. Depending on what like random little card you drew before, it picks one for you, and that gets added to like the part of the case that you solve. So it's like, oh, the object is the stopwatch. And then you solve the location, and it's like...
Sounds a little bit like Betrayal on the House on...
Kind of, yeah, but it doesn't have the weird, strange ending that no one understands or knows how to play. So it's like, oh, it happened at the park. Like, oh, the motive was hunger. and then, like, you solve all the things, and then it encourages you to, like, make a story, basically, out of the five things that you found. Just to
that kinda, sounds fun.
It is, and G's, like, wicked into it. She's like, oh, like, this fucking funny thing happened, and this, like, oh, someone pushed the librarian, or someone hit the librarian with a slingshot, and the motive was, like, lying, and it's like, oh, fuck, like, what's going on here? And then at the end, you take one of those five things, and you add it to the main case. So there's like a main case you're working on, and that takes place over five games, and that's the campaign.
Okay.
So you make a little story based on the things that the clues and things that you found, and then you take that final thing.
They're combining like a board game with like D&D stuff, like
sort of
stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's how it's replayable, because like every combination of like those five cards is going to be a little bit different every time you do it.
So this is how it's replayable. You pick that final thing to be your like main clue, and once you have the main clue, there's a table in the book where you go in, and there's like 10 listings for each clue that you could potentially pick. So say like, oh, the main clue was stopwatch. The next game you play, you go into the book. If you pick stopwatch, it's like, yo, unlock card 88, 64, and 128. Okay. And then you go in there, and it evolves like an actual story, and then it gives you unique game mechanics and items that carry on to the next game that you play. So one of the ones that we unlocked, so normally just solving the location is you just match the five cards that you play.
Mm-hmm.
But we unlocked one that was like, it gives you these two cards, you flip them over, it turns into a map. And like, it makes solving green the next time you have to use different actions to move around this map. And it gives you the item of a bicycle that makes like moving free. And like, it gives you all these different ways to like break the game and so different
they're just
rules.
Modifying.
Yeah, so every game you play, depending on what you ended with and what things you have going, it gives you different ways to like solve the case and move around and different obstacles to have. So one of the funny ones that we got on the first case was we picked Mom as one of the main suspects. So because we picked Mom, it gave us like this mom counter thing. And one of the things is you have to, whatever, confirm these clues. But if you do the most efficient way of confirming a clue, it tips off Mom. So you have to play in like an inefficient way as to not like tip off Mom. So you're like trying to solve the problem, but like
in a really roundabout way.
In like a roundabout way. So that you're not tipping off Mom. It's fucking genius, dude. Yeah,
it's cool.
It's so cool. It's so funny. And she's really into it, and it's fun, and I like it, and it's a good game.
Cool. That was Spy Game?
Spy Club. I will touch quickly on one more game. It's called On Mars. Kickstarted it like a year ago. It's been on my shelf for like 3 months because I've been too intimidated to play it. Our friend Brian that Kenny plays all these action RPGs with also plays a lot of board games, and he has a man crush on the designer Vital Lacerda. I've never played any of his games. This is the first one. They're very complex. I was very intimidating. I'll restate that. So learning the game in the first playthrough took 4 hours. That's after I read the full 24-page rulebook. So I read the 24-page rulebook.
Probably a couple times.
Watched the video with my wife, Danielle, and then we sat down and played it. And before we started, we thought we had it after watching the video, and we're like, nope. There's a few concepts maybe we don't understand. We figured it out. The rulebook's amazing. And we played it, and it's fucking very good.
Yeah.
But it is a space game, similar to the theme of Terraforming Mars, where you're trying to work, not together, but you have your individual goals, but you're trying to make the planet better, right?
Hmm.
It's a worker placement game where there's... I'm going to just run through this as briefly as I can. There's two sides of the board. There's a colony, which is the fucking spaceship floating in the air, and then there's the planet. And it's a worker placement game, and you have a shuttle that travels between the colony and the floor of the planet. But you can only do actions where, like, the shuttle is. And you can choose to take the shuttle back and forth
mm-hmm.
to do the two different things. So one side's about, like, production and gaining resources. The other side is about building buildings and doing some other shit. I won't get too in the weeds with it because it is... incredibly complex. Incredibly complex. But you get a very elaborate board with a bunch of different workers. You're trying to earn resources to get onto your board, and then you go down to the planet and you can build buildings, and you unlock new workers and new things on your board to do, and you have little robots that you're moving along the planet that build buildings and do things, and you have a rover you're driving around. It's very fucking complicated.
It sounds very complicated.
I don't know if I can say it enough times, but once it clicks, like, it is... Oh, it's so good.
It looks great, too.
It does. It was very expensive. I think it's $130. I think the Kickstarter was, like, $100. It's worth every cent if you're an absolute crazed maniac that has someone that can play it with you consistently. Yeah, I don't really know
board games
too much else to add other than it is very satisfying.
It sounds like your board game addiction is equivalent of a cocaine addiction.
Pretty
now.
Much.
Oh yeah.
Pretty much.
Sure.
I mean,
that's crazy.
This is literally
that's $130 for a fucking board game. Think about that out loud.
I've spent more on dumber things.
Here's the thing.
Yeah, I've spent way more on dumber things. But I'm saying I also used to be addicted to cocaine. Yeah. So I know.
Here's the thing. I've already played it for probably like 6.5-7 hours.
Okay. And all right.
I still really want to play it again.
I always look at it like anything. If somebody says, like, oh, that video game costs $60, like, if you go to see a movie in the movie theater, it's going to cost you a minimum of $20 for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
So just parse that out. Like, if a video game is
you're get 45
six hours oh, long yeah. and it's $60. I'm okay with that.
No,
and
7 hours, you're still over $18 an hour.
Yeah, but he's also going to have it for many, many years.
Yeah, that's perfect. I mean, it's mint.
Just saying, it's borderline problem-esque.
Oh, it's problem. I can completely understand that it's a problem. Completely.
Yeah.
I get it.
You have a lot of board games.
I do. But this one's very... very satisfying.
I will say that I a couple weeks ago I got to play Wingspan for the first time, and I
love that game.
That game's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I also bought Space Base.
I bought that game too. It's also really
good. Yeah. No, they're
that
fun.
And Sheriff of Nottingham.
Yeah.
Well, also a good game.
No, the reason I don't mind spending money, it gets you away from the glowing rectangles.
Yep.
You know, it puts people down in a table where you can hang out and fucking chat, and you can bring them places, which is dope.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there is that freakish, like, collectory kind of thing,
yeah, for
right?
sure.
Probably people that collect guns feel the same way. They're just like, oh, this thing fits perfectly in the case, and I have this little piece and that little piece, and I'm going to put it right here, and this goes right here, and look at the way it slides into the thing. Like,
I bet you can get some guns for less than $130.
Probably. But they don't have fucking cool space shit on them, dude.
I bet there's some that do.
That's another thing. It's like the artwork in it. The artwork in it is like... like the collector and somebody can
mind blowing.
Like when I used to play Magic cards, like I was very into the artwork and really some good. Of the certain artists that did it. So there's that too.
It tickles me on that level. Something about the tactility of it, the way it looks, the gameplay. This is the crazy
putting new sleeves on those cards.
New sleeves, dude. I didn't play any video games this week because I was sleeving fucking cards and putting things into organizers, dude. I don't give a fuck, dude. I got my fire going. I sat in front of it and I sleeved cards, Indian style, bro. Give a fuck.
Crisscross applesauce.
Yeah.
Style. There you go.
That's it. Board games, motherfuckers. Deal with
Get
it.
Get learned.
Board games.
Seriously.
Motherfuckers. I think that's probably going to do it for this podcast.
That's it.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us. You can find us on the social webs, Social Nerd Rev on Twitter, Running in Circles Podcast on Facebook. You can email us at socialnerdreview@gmail.com.
Just like to say hi, Ralph.
Hi, Ralph.
Hey, Ralph.
Love you, Ralph.
Bye. Bye.